Hey everybody, good morning and welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show. It's Wednesday, March 27th, and we got a jam-packed show today. We're talking about the new news that Meatable can make pork in the lab from cell to sausage in 4 days, they're saying, which is a massive increase over their already fast 8 days. Doug's skeptical. We'll see what he's got to say about it. And then we got some things about the health benefits of coffee, which is always good to hear. Always good to reinforce a good old coffee habit with health data. So we got that. And lots of other news. So it should be fun. Doug, how are you doing today?
Matt, I'm doing great.
Yeah?
I started my morning off a way I've never once started off in my entire life.
Okay. Wow, that doesn't happen too much, I don't think. What is it?
No, it never happens. I rolled out of bed at 5:15, put on some shorts, and instead of going for my morning run, went to the gym, lifted some weights, first thing. Part of that early morning crowd that was there as the gym opened.
It's very early. So before 6, your gym is open?
Gym opens at 5:30. I got there, like 5:45. But
wow,
as the original, the first people were trickling in. So was I. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a whole like community there that's doing their thing at 5:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh. Right. Cool. That's good. Just by yourself, or you made a friend there? Must have.
No, I met a friend there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. All right. How'd that go? I mean, it feels good. The short periods of my life that I've done that sort of thing, a couple months in a row. It sure does feel good once you're finished.
It honestly felt really good. We talked about this last week because I lifted weights for the first time in years, at a gym, and I was sore for days. I mean, days.
Yeah, right.
Even today, and this has been a week. It was last Wednesday. There were certain things like at certain levels, I could feel some tightness in my shoulders and stuff like that. It felt really good. It's a different feeling than going for a run for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I very much enjoyed it. I don't know. Maybe this is my new thing. I'm taking creatine now. I'm lifting weights. I'm going to be swole, man.
Good. All right. I like it. I mean, it's great. You've always said that you've never really been a gym guy. So it's nice. I like this. Is this the new part of the new body image, campaign of yours?
Well, I think it's stemming from that, not body image, body feeling. It had nothing to do with how I looked. I didn't feel good in my body. It had nothing to do with how it looked. So, it definitely, I think it's coming from that. I'm just feeling like exploring, because I've still been doing yoga pretty much every day and just kind of exploring some new things and new ways to express my body and push my body. And this is part of that for sure. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I think like once or twice a week would be a really nice addition to where I am right now, which is not doing any active racing, but I want to stay fit to be able to do some racing to be able to do some training, I guess. And I don't know. We'll see what happens, but felt good.
So this won't replace running like it would for me, where I would just switch entirely to the new.
Oh no, focus. Definitely not. No. I mean, I ran yesterday morning and I'll probably run tomorrow. So this is an addition to that. And who knows, I do firmly believe that some level of strength training can benefit runners. Of course, getting a lot of upper body muscle mass, probably not. I think I'll probably stick to upper body days in the gym once or twice a week and then continue running. So not really do too much with my lower body in the gym.
All right, good. Well, this will be a way to blow by the 5 day or 5 pull-ups thing. I think you'll get that without even realizing that you're making that kind of progress if you stick with the gym. So
yeah,
that's good. That'd be nice. Good for you. All right, I heard from 3 different people that yesterday's show was train wreck ish as far as how it flowed with a baby being part of the show.
Who told you that?
Well, it was Hugh, Isabel, and Aaron all told me that separately, independently. So, two of you were the ones who were doing the show, so that wasn't so bad.
It was a little rough. I'm not gonna lie. We kept it together. There were no like awkward pauses or anything like that. But it was it's hard when you're a little distracted, and then you get the, at least for me, You know, I was even feeling this a little bit last Friday, and Chloe didn't interrupt that much. But then you start getting nervous and you want to like contribute in a way that then is not pulling away from all the crying that's happening in the background. And I don't know, it's tough, but we're back. We're back today.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, there's some positive thoughts about it. Bridger says Isabel was in power mom status. She did great. And Allie says, I loved yesterday's show, even though I didn't catch it live. I love baby noises. And Danielle P says, we appreciate the effort on yesterday's show. So yeah, I appreciate it too. I'm very grateful that Isabel was able to fill in for me. Cause otherwise there would have been no show. That was the alternative. So yeah, I'm really glad that she did it. And Kelly K says, I thought Isabel and Doug were great yesterday.
You know, it's always worse than doing it yourself.
Yeah. I didn't listen to it yet. So I can't really say for sure, but I'm glad to hear that people think it was good. And I think Isabel's great. I really do. I mean, ideally, if she didn't have a baby, it'd be better. But, you know, while on the show, I mean, not in general. anyway, I went to doctor's appointment in Asheville, which meant I had to drive through Black Mountain or got to drive through Black Mountain. Met my dad there for dinner, actually. And it's called My Father's Pizza and Pasta. I'm sure you know the place. Mm-hmm. Went there with my father, so that was good. And the town seemed to be in good working order. Under Your Rule was not like Back to the Future Biff when Biff's in charge and he comes back and town is terrible. It wasn't anything like that.
Trash everywhere, buildings collapsing. No, it was good.
No, it was good. It was the town seemed to be running smoothly. So good job there.
Well, I appreciate the invite to dinner. That's that was very nice.
Yeah. Well, it was me and my dad and his wife. I don't think he would.
I know. I'm just joking.
All right. Fritter says, "Dang, Matt, a bit harsh." I don't know what I was harsh about. I hope I wasn't harsh about Isabel at all, because I certainly wouldn't intend to be. I think she's fantastic.
better without a kid.
I didn't hear it. I'm just saying anybody would be hard to do with a kid, but there was no other option. So we had to do that. And she stepped up. Okay. Yeah. So what else, Doug? Anything else? Any other goings on before we jump in? We do have plenty of weather report stuff today, so we might as well jump in. But anything else from you?
I don't think so. No, I don't. Okay. I don't even recall what I ate for dinner last night. So there you go. How about you? What did you have for dinner? Oh, yeah. My father's. Yeah.
No, that was two nights, because I went to Asheville the night
before. Oh, gosh.
I got in the mail an early copy of the much anticipated Scrappy Cooking from Carly Hodrug of Plant U. So that is exciting. We've been looking through it, trying to find some things to make so that I can send an email about it. But it was no challenge. There's plenty of stuff in it. It's cool. It's a good book. So yesterday I made a bean salad, a pantry bean salad. Came home from Asheville doctor appointment. Got home around 2:30, had to be out the door for soccer practice by 4 and a soccer game, actually. So whipped together this bean salad thing, thinking that when we got back from soccer, we could all eat that on some frozen sourdough bread, reheated toast. And we had that with some kale as a side. So it turned out to be pretty good. It was a nice little meal. And Scrappy Cooking did its thing. We just made it out of the pantry, made bean salad.
Did you put the bean salad on the bread, or was that a side?
Yes. It's meant to be like a, I assume, room temperature kind of bean salad, but I actually heated it up to put on top of the bread. Kind of a beans on toast deal.
Yeah. And it was good?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, for what it was, it was great.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Requiring almost no effort. Yeah, so what, it's a good book.
Why are you giving that book out? When does it come out? Or can you pre-order now? What's the deal?
I don't know anything about it. I'm sure you can pre-order now. Let's see. Scrappy Cooking releases... April 11th, 2024. So 2 weeks from
now. Now is the time to pre-order. Right now, I bet.
Now is the time to pre-order. There's even a pre-order price guarantee on Amazon.
Ooh, price guarantee. What does that even mean?
I think it means if the price goes down, you'll get a refund.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think. So anyway, that'll be good. And Carly's going to come on the show. We've said that many times before, that we should have Carly on. But this time, we were texting about the book, and I said, you have to come on the show this time. She said, yes, we'll do. So she's going to be on. I think that's going to be Thursday of the day after the book comes back. We will have Carly here in studio with us. When she could be anywhere else in the world, we'll have her here.
Wow.
I know.
That's big.
It is big. She seems a big deal. All right. So that's it. That's the story. Let's go ahead and get to our goings on of the day. The big one, Doug, is one I know you particularly were excited about. Cultivated pork producer Meatable, who we've talked about before. They've announced they've got a new production milestone. They're saying sell to sausage in only 4 days. Surpasses the company's previous 8-day process, making it the quickest cell cultivating method in the world, the company claims. What do you think, Doug? Scary?
Well, one part you left out that was in yesterday's notes is how long it takes if it's in an animal.
Do you remember that offhand? I have that it is 60 times faster than traditional pig farming. 60 so times faster. That must be 480 days that it would take a traditional pig to grow from cell to sausage.
Instead of 4 days. So, yeah, this is actually kind of alarming to me. And I don't know why. I mean, maybe because it just feels so like out there and labby instead of natural. But I have to wonder if there's some sort of mutation that's happening when it's reproducing and growing so quickly in order to go from a cell to a slab of meat in just 4 days. Like that just feels like gives me pause, right? and they're bragging about it over 8 days, which 8 days of course gives me pause too. Like if the natural process is 400 days and we're talking about 4 days, like that, I don't know, man, that like makes me quite nervous. I don't know about you. Do you have that same reaction?
Well, we've been talking about that recently, and I think Vegan Stallion has been the staunch defender of these things, saying if you're recreating the thing, you know, in the lab, you're getting the same molecule. It can't be any less healthy. Nothing to worry about here. I think that argument's a little tighter when we're talking about the precision fermentation, and they say the molecule we're getting is literally equivalent, identical to the real thing. You know, then it's easier to believe that like, okay, it's the same molecule. What could be different about it? I don't know enough about all that stuff to know, like, even if it's the same molecule, could those molecules be arranged differently or something else, or the genetic, you know, the reproductive side of the molecules, you know, obviously I don't know anything about this. Could the processes that kind of go on with the way these molecules are put together, can that be different? So who knows? But in this case, when we're talking about cultivated meat, I don't think anybody has ever said molecularly equivalent. I don't think we've heard that. I think they're producing something that is, you know, indistinguishable maybe when you look and taste it from pork, like in a you know, a real pork. But like, you know, no, I don't think anyone is saying every single molecule here is exactly the same as in a real pork. There's got to be some differences. I would assume there has to be, right? There's all these different inputs that are happening in a real natural situation that aren't happening here. So yeah, I think this is scary to me. I don't know. I'm still eager for it to happen. And I would certainly try it, but I don't know about like constantly always.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, okay. So this is what it makes me think of. And I knew this, but, you know, this is Google talking, right? So like, who knows, but the Cancer Research UK, cancerresearchuk.org. I just Googled, is it bad when cells grow too quickly? And the first thing that comes up that says, and once cells start growing too fast, they're more likely to pick up further mutations and less likely to be able to repair and damage genes. I feel like that's gotta happen when you're making it go way fast, when you're making the process go extremely fast. Of course, like this is how, like, you know, if it took 480 days for you to get a chicken breast or something like that, like it probably wouldn't be, it'd be way more expensive. So like, if you can produce this that much quicker and at a whole other volume, I mean, that's how you change the game, right? That's how you move people towards.
Right. Probably the only way, right? The only, like, they're not going to be able to grow these at the same pace as nature would and have any kind of business that works, I would guess.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, I mean, since it only makes sense that they would figure out how to do this, but
yeah,
I don't know why I never considered it before, but it definitely freaks me out a little bit. Mr. Jeffrey says, plus the pigs have been bred to grow faster for 480 days already. So that's faster than it should be. And yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. They're pumping it with hormones and pumping it with all kinds of things and breeding it so that it grows faster and faster to cut down on the process already.
Yeah. I mean, I do think we talked about the 8-day thing before, but it wasn't that alarming then. And I think, You're right. I think this used to be a several weeks process when we first started talking about it. So who knows? Maybe 4 days isn't even the limit, right? If it just halved at the time, maybe soon it's going to be 1 day. And then it's going to be, I don't know. And you just can't imagine something like that as natural, as good to eat. I don't want to say natural because, of course, it's not natural. I don't know. But yeah, I think there's reason to be scary. I wish vegan Stallion was here to defend this because I'm genuinely curious.
Big Meaty X Claws has some really good points here, which I completely agree with. So he says, he or she says, they say anything would be better than how they currently raise pigs. And then I think it's scary.
For the pig's sake, unknown. Sure. Right. Definitely for the pig's sake, there's no pig involved here that is being grown. It's just cells that are taken. So definitely from an animal cruelty thing, definitely better.
And probably from the human, you know, the impact of pig farming on humans is huge too, right? And the environment. Mm-hmm. Then they follow up with, I think it's scary only because of unknowns. Future is always scary. And that's true. Like, of course, I mean, right. It's scary because I have no idea what's happening. I'm sure that someone has thought this through. That's way smarter than me. and if it was actually an issue, then they would, you know, slow it down, but man, it freaks me out.
Yeah. Right. Aside, I mean, is it simply from the health implications that might come with this? Is that what freaks you out? Or is it just the fact that we are able to do this? And what does that mean about where we are headed as far as technology? Oh, and
maybe a little bit of both, but from like a personal, you know, if someone were to give it to me, I think I would be running. It would be running through my mind like this grew in 4 days, and that's wild, you know. And so then that's a health thing, but also, I mean, probably just freaks me out a little bit of the future. But also, that kind of that part is a little bit cool too. So
this is a completely naive question. Like, what makes it stop growing? Right? Like, it's not like they unplug it and then it stops. But like, what makes it not keep growing once you have eaten it and it's in your body? Obviously, when you've digested it, I would imagine whatever mechanisms there are for growth are gone.
Your belly like, starts swelling with this.
Yeah, what makes it stop growing like in the package when it's a sausage in the package? Like, I just don't know anything about this.
Obviously, there's a growth medium that it's in. Or something, right? I mean,
there's a growth medium and it's in that. But I mean, you put it in the same thing that keeps it feeding in there.
The same thing that keeps it from growing once the animal is killed, right?
Yeah, life in general. So, but these things aren't alive.
I don't think they are.
Who knows?
They're live cells.
We need someone. Right? We need a real person here. We can come ask these intelligent questions to someone who knows all about cultivated meat. He just has a chat bot. He uses. He's not even here.
So what if Mr. Jeffrey is a chat bot?
All right. So. Media Expo says, what would be cool is if they could replicate wild animal meat instead of big farm meat. And yeah, I mean, that is the attractive thing about this. We said the same thing with the cultivated fish, that they can, I mean, they can replicate really the purest of wild seafood, right? The without the heavy metals, without the stuff. And that's great. Like that's fantastic. And of course that's what they would be trying to do here. I think they're not going to replicate the awful parts of it, but if there's going to be this race to make it faster and faster, then, you know, they're going to make choices that are suiting that. And although now I'm questioning, like I just said, well, they can't have a sustainable business if it took them 460 days to do this. But I wonder why not? Like, what is so wrong about that, right? The pig farms take a massive amount of land and machinery and stuff to do this in that amount of time. Why couldn't this compete with that on the same timeline if that was the safer or only safe way to do it?
I mean, you have to imagine it's more expensive and more power. Like consumes more power and all
Stuff. So, yeah, that's true. So maybe to go for that many days is not feasible.
But I don't know. We need an expert.
We do need an expert. That's all right.
Maybe we'll try an expert in cultivated meat.
she can play one that day. Now and then we get reaches out from people, and we almost never even respond to them because they're just terrible. But maybe this will spark a cultivated meat person to come on the show. Mm-hmm. I would enjoy that. Steven, on a mostly unrelated note, says, I had Burger King yesterday for the first time in ages, and the chicken sandwich is too good. And he's referring to the plant-based Burger King chicken sandwich they have, which I have had and is delicious. I had it in Germany and in Italy, I think, too. And it's fantastic. It's just like the old one that I used to love from Burger King. It's called the Long Chicken there. But do you ever get that sandwich dog when you were a kid?
Nope.
It's like a sub shape burger. It just has very good spices. Yeah,
I never used to get chicken at the fast food restaurant.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you were missing out. Okay, so there's that one. That's the main weather report item. I got a little power situation in my computer, so I'm looking down. If you're watching live, that's why I'm looking.
I told everybody yesterday the reason you were gone is because you were out buying a new sound machine. So.
But doing that, that's needed. All right, celebrity news, entertainment page. Oscar-winning actor and Peaky Blinders star and Oppenheimer star. I've heard of Oppenheimer, never heard of Peaky Blinders, and certainly haven't heard of this person's name. Cillian Murphy. Doug, you know this guy?
I'm Googling him right now. Keep going.
Okay. He has said he's gone vegan. And he's
saying, oh, yeah, the Oppenheimer guy.
Yeah, so he said Oppenheimer.
The main, I know, but I didn't, I mean, there are lots of people in Oppenheimer. This is the main guy.
Is he Oppenheimer himself?
Yes.
Is that a guy? It is. Okay. Mm. I thought Einstein was the main guy in Oppenheimer Project.
No. Oppenheimer. No,
he's just a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anyway, he's in there, and he's also in Peaky Blinders. So you don't know Peaky Blinders?
I don't. No.
Plays Tommy Shelby in that. It's a hit series. Anyway, he's gone vegan, health and ethical reasons. And his quote was, "I've been vegan lately, so I've been trying the vegan thing as well." Very intelligent, good quote. He said he's missing cheese, but very happy with it. Been off meat for a long time. He's been off, so I guess he's not been fully vegan, but now is. Did have a kind of a relapse and didn't feel any better, so I'm back off it again. I guess that's off the meat. And he said both. Now, when it was as far as whether it was health or ethical reasons, and just better for the planet is what he said. So kind of good news. I mean, we just don't hear that much of these celebrities going vegan recently. It just seems like everybody's going unvegan and the restaurants are all closing and everything. So this is good. I'm glad to hear some news like this. I hope this kind of stuff keeps happening. Definitely. All right. In Germany, supermarket chain Rewe, I don't know, R-E-W-E, they are Rewe. Opening an all, what is it, Rewe?
I don't know. It looked like Rewee to me.
Steven probably could tell us the pronunciation because I think Dutch is not so far from German. Anyway, they're opening an all-vegan store in Berlin, which is a big, big hotbed of veganism in Berlin. So I'm not too surprised by that. It's replacing what already was a plant-based supermarket called Vegans with a Z. And I don't know, second largest food. They're the second largest food retailer in the country. So it's cool for them to be opening an all-vegan place. I guess it would be like if... I don't know. Target opened a vegan Target as far as their food went. Maybe not, because they're not just a food retailer. But what?
That would be dope. Be exciting.
Yeah, it would. If Walmart did that, Doug, would you switch back to Walmart and say Walmart is now the cooler of the places?
For sure. 100%. Yeah. I read an article the other day that Walmart was trying to now target higher-end customers again. So maybe in a couple of years it will become the new cooler of the two.
Yeah, I mean, I guess anything's possible. It just seems so far away from that right now, that brand perception. But I don't know. When I go to Walmart, I don't have any problem with it. It's just you know, kind of it's what you expect, but it's always helpful and it's clean enough. And
yeah. I don't know. I mean, I got no problem. I mean, I do have some problems. Walmart stress me out. They're just too big, especially Super Walmarts. They're too big. There's too many people. I don't know. Like, it just, but that's more of a personal thing about just like being around crowded spaces, a lot of people with big carts, massive carts.
Yeah. So it is big. It takes a long time to get across the store of Walmart if you go to the wrong part. Did you guys talk about the bridge thing yesterday, the Baltimore Bridge? You must have.
Oh, no, we didn't, man. But that was wild. And you're the Baltimore guy.
Yeah. I used to go on that bridge very often when I would drive from Bel Air down to Baltimore or DC for school. And it was a good bridge to go. It was nice, the less trafficked way.
Yeah. But just the way it crazy. Crumbled was.
It was so it was crazy. Crazy. It was.
And tragic. So I learned this morning that, and maybe everybody else knew this, but I learned this morning that they were able to call for Mayday, which stopped a lot of the traffic. So they did keep a lot of the cars off, which is good. But there were construction workers on there. And those are the ones that have gone missing.
Yep. I heard the same thing, which makes you think it was not an intentional type of thing. apparently there were many signals that it was not. So that's good. All right, good. Enough about that. On to the next news here. You know, these statistics kind of things are always boring, but I actually like this one. The upshot of it all is this. I think this was U.S. News's wording. They said most folks know they'd be healthier if they ate more plant-based foods, but only a quarter are willing to follow through and do it, says this new study. The actual stats are that across all ages, 73% of Americans said plant proteins were healthy, compared to 39% who said that animal proteins were healthy. So interesting there that people, you know, don't just think plant protein is fake meat, you know, UPF or whatever. But those who follow a plant-rich dietary pattern, although that had doubled from 12% to 26% during the decade of time that this study covered, I guess the part here that people are saying is the unfollow, people aren't following through, is that 70% believe these things are healthier than the plant, than the animal proteins, but only 26% are actually eating more of them. The other thing that's sort of contradictory is that the percentage of people eating more red meat during this time frame also rose from 13% to 19%. So there's just this kind of weird thing happening where people are the number of people eating more plants is on the rise. The people eating more red meat is on the rise. And I guess you would wonder, how can that be? And I thought of a few reasons that could be. Like, you may just have that kind of these polarized diet patterns are on the rise. People who believe that the paleo types, maybe even carnivore types, who believe that meat is a health food, that's going up. And then you got people who are plant-based, plant-forward eaters, and that's going up. And then the people in the middle who are probably, you could say that the standard American diet, some people might say, is better than a paleo or carnivore diet. I honestly don't know if a carnivore diet is better than a standard American diet. But I do think someone who's like a paleo, who's actually doing it correctly, thinking about whole foods, eating a lot of plants and eating a lot of meat, they're probably doing better than a standard American diet that has a ton of processed food. So it could just be that people are moving away from the standard American diet in these different directions. And that's probably a good thing as far as people's health goes. Or if the whole world went paleo, which isn't obviously what happened, but that would also create this, right? People eating more plants and eating more red meat. Mm. So I don't know what's really going on here. They broke it down also by ages, and they said that the Gen Z, which is 97 to 2012, and millennials, 81 to 96, more likely to follow a plant-rich diet than Gen X. That's me. I'm at the end of that. Or baby boomers. So they're not, you know, the older people aren't doing it as much. But 25% of Gen Z and millennials also reported the increased red meat consumption compared to the only 10% of the older crowd. So the lower, younger people are exhibiting both of these trends more than the older crowd is. So I don't know. I just think it's interesting. I don't know how to explain almost any of it. But maybe it means people are getting away from standard American diet. Maybe that's the biggest takeaway. And I hope that is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. And that wouldn't surprise me, right? I mean, just based on the amount of, it's hard to know whether my algorithms are just slanted towards diet stuff, but it seems like diet is all over social media and all over podcasts and everything like that. So people were just maybe hearing about alternatives to a standard American diet and just kind of going one way or another. And I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Would you say that reputation, like how would you say that has changed in the past 10 years and past 2 years?
You know, well, I think one thing that's changed is I would say 10 years ago, very few people were talking about like eating raw stuff or even, you know, close to raw, you know, raw,
right?
Barely cooked red meat. And it like the, when you thought about red meat, you thought about grilling and bacon and
McDonald's
hamburgers, McDonald's hamburgers, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now, you know, now I think a lot of people are thinking about keto, thinking about paleo, or carnivore diet, you know, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of that, you know, might be higher quality meat and sometimes raw, I guess. But so I don't know. I think that it's changed from like this guy's gonna grill to like, now I'm like super invested in my diet and my health, but I'm just going to eat all this
right
fancy meat. I don't know. Would you say that? Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I mean, as far as the people who are choosing it, like I think it used to be thought of as like people choose it because they like how it tastes. And now you get a lot of people who, yes, they like how it tastes, but they're also saying this is part of my healthy diet and the diet's built around this. Now, certainly some of those diets arise precisely for that reason, right? Diets that say, hey, you can eat the really good foods that you like eating. Those diets gain traction and then they fade away often. Who knows if this actually will or not. You've also seen a little bit recently the scientists and like, I think there was a big UN report that came out kind of defending red meat in many ways. So I think like 10 years ago, it was like, it's just to me, maybe again, just different circles and I didn't see the opposing side, but it was almost unanimous that like red meat was not good. Like even the paleo people were like not on board all the time with red meat. It was just not a food, but like, or not a food you should be eating, even if you were, you know, a paleo dieter. I'm speaking as if I understand this and I really was not in the paleo culture. So I could be totally wrong here and someone could tell me I'm wrong and that they'd probably be right. What was I going to say? Yeah. But now, I don't know. You've just seen these things that were like, I think something that had 500 scientists calling for, you know, different information about red meat in this UN report. And you see people saying processed red meat, yes, is still believed to be unhealthy by almost everybody. But unprocessed red meat is, people are defending it and saying certain amounts of it up to, I forget what it was, 80 grams a day or something, has, you know, not that much data saying that it is unhealthy. So, I don't know. I guess I think that would certainly explain the move back towards it. By a lot of these people. So it's still possible, like I'm saying, that these people are doing this at least mindfully in the sense that like they are caring more about their health as they do this rather than this means people are giving up on their health. Whether that information is good or not, I don't know, but I think it's a good thing that people are trying to eat healthier. Now, not good for animals if people are eating more red meat, obviously. But if they're choosing higher quality in general, maybe that's going to mean better situation for animals.
Yep. That's right.
Alrighty. And I think we got one more here. Yes, just one more. And that is that Steven will care about if he's still here, that seven companies in the Netherlands have agreed to make 50% of the suggested recipes on their product packaging meat free. And these are Conimex, Fairtrade Original, Jumbo, Knorr, Kotai, Patex, and Plus. The problem is I don't know what these brands are. They're food brands, but I don't know if they're selling meat. I guess not, because they wouldn't put, you know, meat-free recipes on their products. So these must be just, you know, foods that make, or brands that make other kinds of food. But anyway, two of them were already doing it, but on average right now, 80% of these recipes feature meat or fish. So they have now kind of made this pact that says we're not going to do that. And I guess it's interesting, this pact idea that would be like, even if you could get a competitive advantage by featuring more non-plant-based recipes, more meat and fish recipes, we're all going to agree not to do it because we all agree that it is bad overall. And I think that's an interesting thing. I think that could be good. I don't know. It seems a little bit anti-competitive in some way, but I don't know. In this kind of case, maybe that's good.
All about that competitive edge, man. I generally am. Jumbo. And they're a supermarket, so maybe some of these are supermarkets, but
maybe they all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think this is great. I think it's good. I never even look at the recipes on the back of a package because
no, definitely.
Yeah, they're probably not all that good, but maybe they are. But you know, also I'm sure they're not vegan, and so I never even bother. But you know, maybe that's a generational thing. I wonder, because a lot of, you know, my mom, for example, and I don't think this is uncommon, you know, the cornbread recipe is the one that's on the back of the package, right? Or like, you know, things like that. You know, a lot of like Thanksgiving recipes and stuff like that are like green bean casserole is like the one that's on the back of the package. And, and maybe, you know, pre-internet, when everyone didn't have all these cookbooks and recipes at their fingertips, like that was a good way to like get a recipe out and try kind of something a little bit different.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, people obviously had cookbooks back then, maybe not as many, but certainly not the, you know, unlimited source of free recipes that the internet is. And so the package, pretty good place to go get something that's at least been vetted by somebody. So yeah, it's been good, but you're right. They don't seem very good anymore. Like if I imagine a recipe on a package for a vegan thing, even I'm just not going to bet that that's going to be tasty at all. And I don't know why. You'd think that that would be pretty.
Yeah. You think that if that's what they're want, if that's how they want you to cook it, then it's probably going to be really tasty. Right.
Right. You would think so.
I don't know. Maybe we should start putting recipes in the back of like Compliment Essential.
What's the recipe for
that? Not to use the Compliment Essential, water? But you know, just recipes we want to get out.
Yeah. I guess you could say, yeah, you could say Compliment Essential like is the final part of this recipe. You eat the meal and then eat the Compliment Essential.
Yeah, yeah.
Or on the protein, we could put smoothie recipes. Definitely put it on the protein, we send that kind of stuff out. We send that out via the internet. We don't send it out on there, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Moving on from the weather report. Couple interesting stories. They're nothing too urgent here. Both from Veg News, actually. One, TikTok is warning people off of oat milk because it's high glycemic, but how worried should we actually be? And this is typical Veg News, you know, coming to the defense of plant-based things. And, you know, they don't always care about the being fair or whatever. They want to defend this thing, and they're going to cite the things that are in favor of that. So they have a dietitian or nutritionist here, and they point out that the glycemic index is somehow not that meaningful. And although people are saying the score is high, which it's a 69 is the score of oat milk on the glycemic index, a high glycemic index is considered to be 70 or higher, while a moderate glycemic index is 56 to 69. So Veg News, of course, says these TikTokers are misleading us. They're saying this is high when in fact it is moderate. And technically they're right, it is, but it's you have to call this high, moderate, or something like that, because it is literally the closest you can be without being in the high category. So you know, that's not the strongest defense there. They also say that some foods like sweet potatoes come in at moderate levels, but who knows what, I don't know what sweet potatoes number actually is, but you could be way different from 69 and still be moderate. And so, you know, they have some stuff, and they say nutrition is not one size fits all. Some people do need to pay attention to this stuff, diabetes sufferers specifically, but others don't. So they're basically saying this doesn't really matter much. I did a little bit of my own research on this, and I also think the glycemic index is, if you don't have diabetes, like not always necessarily something you need to worry about. Glycemic load is, I think, more reasonable thing to think about, because that takes into account what percentage of the calories in the food are carbohydrates that are doing the spiking of blood sugar. And oat milk, I guess, is one site says it's low in glycemic loads. It's like a 4. This other site, which is a pistachio milk site, full disclosure, said the glycemic load of a 12-ounce glass of oat milk is 18.4. That's nearly the same blood sugar impact as a 12-ounce Coke, which is a 20.8 on the glycemic index. So I don't know what to make of that.
Hold on. Help me understand load versus index.
Index, I think, looks just at the carbohydrate type that is in there and what it's composed of and what it will do like in isolation in your bloodstream. Whereas load takes into account the other calories that are coming with it, how many other calories are coming with this much carbohydrate that would sort of help your, you know, body to blunt those spikes. So load is, I think, the one that matters more for people who are maybe not diabetic, but just are, you know, trying to choose foods that are not too sugary, basically.
But I mean, I know there's a lot of people say, you know, you don't want your blood sugar to spike, but there's also a lot of people who are saying that doesn't really matter if you're not diabetic, right?
Yeah, right. Like, so the spiking is exactly what your body's supposed to do to respond to eating of sugar. And if it's not, I don't know, still you have to imagine that like, it's not good to constantly spike blood sugar. I don't really know that for sure. But I think it comes with some amount of stress and inflammation on your body when it happens. I don't know for sure. So I don't know. By the way, all this goes for, this is the sweetened version of oat milk they're talking about. The unsweetened version has a much, much lower, I think it's a 30 glycemic index. So if you're getting unsweetened, you don't have to worry about this at all. I don't know. For me, like, I did only this minimal amount of research, but like, I just still don't really think this glycemic index is that important. I think sugar is sugar. I think whole foods are better than processed foods. If you're going to get sugar and you get it in a whole food form, that's totally fine. I wouldn't worry about that. When you get it added to a beverage, even to something like oat milk, I think that's typically not a good thing. Not something you want to be doing all the time, not every day. But if it's unsweetened, then, you know, you're fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think You should avoid added sugar. That's what I think. And some oat milk has added sugar. So that's what I would do.
There you go.
There you go. No need to purge the cupboard of Oatly, says Veggies.
But further down, it says the registered dietitian in the interview says to make your own. So,
yeah, they do say to make your own. Mm-hmm. There you go. If I see one more bad Oatly ad, I'm going to start making my own. So I'm going to organize my own personal boycott of Oatly products.
You use it?
All right.
You use oat milk? No.
No, we don't buy it. I think now and then we have it in the fridge, and I don't know what purpose for. I don't ever actually use it. The kids sometimes eat Oatly ice cream.
Mm.
But otherwise, no. If I go out to Starbucks, though, I'll get an oat milk drink.
An Oatly Oleato?
Yeah, I like
that. Have you had another one?
I've had it 3 times now. None of those was as good as the first time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but I still like it. Starbucks doesn't use Oatly, though, do they? They just use
I have no idea. I'm not sure.
I think we would know about that by now. I think Oatly would have run an ad about that.
California Farms. That seems to be what most people use.
Okay. All right, and final thing, speaking of coffee, nice little segue, the unlikely health benefits of coffee. There's really not that much to this, so we can knock it out quick. I like it because I like hearing that coffee is healthy for me. It's one of those things where, like, I used to put it in the category of alcohol, of, like, this thing that is probably mildly unhealthy for me not to be having all the time. Since then, but that was 10 years ago, I've said alcohol is worse than that, and I said caffeine is way, way better than that. So they've changed their positions a little bit. Is that you? Are you have that same trajectory, Doug?
Wait, you said what now? Say it again.
Coffee to me and alcohol used to be each like a daily thing that I thought this is not the healthiest daily habit I could have, but it's also not too bad. Like I'm not, it's okay. But all else equal, if I could just axe both these habits from my life, I'd do that. Now I feel like alcohol is even worse than that. Then like it's one that you really probably don't want to be a daily habit of your life. If you do, it better be very small quantity. Coffee, though, I think is perhaps a positive to have every single day. Zero downside to me as far as I feel zero health guilt when I drink a cup of coffee.
I don't think I ever put coffee and alcohol on the same level.
No.
But certainly, I don't think twice about coffee. I mean, right. And don't worry about it at all. Whereas alcohol, I have definitely reduced my consumption of that and feel the benefits of that.
Yeah, like there are still people writing books and talking about how caffeine is bad and it's the secret killer and it's, you know, just a really bad thing. So like that still is out there and it is a poison. I think 80 cups of coffee or something would kill you. But 4 or 6, you know, doesn't seem to be harmful at all. It's hard to imagine that it isn't, just with the amount that it kind of makes you go to the bathroom and it makes you feel jittery. Like it's hard to imagine that would be a healthy thing. But most of the benefits seem to be like the Alzheimer's and the old age stuff seem to be linked to lots of cups of coffee, like 4 to 6 cups a day. So I don't know. It appears to be like a totally healthy thing. The only reason I avoid coffee really is just like the short-term immediate benefits. Avoid having, you know, double the amount of coffee that I normally do. If it didn't make me eventually feel badly, like just too, I don't know, I guess it's jittery, too jittery, too awake, just not able to relax. Then I would eat a lot more, or drink a lot more, I don't know. It's just short-term reasons. And then now we're about sleeping and all that. So anyway, let's hit these real quick. Oh, they ask how much coffee is too much. They say generally you want to limit yourself to 400 milligrams of caffeine a day, which equates to about 4 8-ounce cups of coffee. Yeah. I think a Starbucks cup is like 200 milligrams in a normal small Starbucks. All right. 7 health benefits. Number one, it gives you energy, which, I mean, I don't know if I call it a benefit. It's nice that you can target it. So if you need energy at a certain moment, you can get it by having coffee, but like drinking something that doesn't have caffeine in it, I don't really believe that gives you energy. It just kind of borrows it and you're going to be tired later as a result. So it's nice that you have the ability to control when your body releases energy, but I don't know if I call that a benefit.
If it's not for that though, then why? I mean, why are you drinking?
Like, tastes good.
I mean, of course it tastes good. It's a nice ritual, but
you're right, because decaf wouldn't do it. Wouldn't be the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's
good. I don't know. If it's give energy. But I don't call it energy. It's just like mood. I guess they're almost the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, it might protect against heart disease. According to the American College of Cardiology, research suggests that 2 or 3 cups a day may lower your risk of heart disease and stroke by up to 15%. This sounds like a reputable place, the American College of Cardiology. Up to 15%. I don't know what exactly that means, but if it is 15%, I mean, that's a massive benefit. Because that's isn't smoking like a 20%? Well, no, I think smoking gives you basically a 20% lung cancer risk and probably a 100-fold increase. So that's not right. But still, 15% reduction in the major killers that these things are, that's huge. So
yeah,
that's reason enough to drink 2 or 3 cups a day if there weren't downsides.
Definitely. Doing it for my heart, to fight heart disease.
Yeah, right. Number three, it increases longevity, could help you live longer. I mean, obviously, if you get less chance of heart disease and stroke, then you're also going to live longer as a result. This study from the European Society of Cardiology found that a few cups a day could extend your life, regardless of whether or not the coffee is caffeinated, decaf, instant, or ground. So that is all good. I have seen some things that have said once the caffeine is removed, you actually do lose some of these benefits. Not that the caffeine on its own would be any better, but sort of that whole food mentality that once you break it apart, you lose some stuff.
I wonder why. It doesn't say in this little bit.
Oh yeah, why the longevity increase?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it's even more just like, I don't know, ritual or mood.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if they had
unrelated to the actual coffee itself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very, very possible. You could imagine that. All right, moving on. It's linked to a lower risk of type 2 diabetes. This is from Nutrition Reviews, which is a journal, suggests that a cup or two of caffeine-free coffee a day can protect against type 2 diabetes. Similar results were found in caffeinated coffee. Believes it's due to the plant compounds found in coffee rather than the caffeine. So that is good. Number five, it may lower the risk of depression. I can believe that. I mean, if I didn't have coffee, I'd be depressed, I think. So it says risk of depression goes down by 8% per every cup of coffee consumed. Of course, you do want to keep in mind the safe caffeine consumption.
What
is
that? What does that mean? Risk of coffee goes down by 8%.
And risk of depression goes down by 8% for every cup consumed.
Like that day? Like feeling depressed? Depressed feelings that day?
No. Like if you're someone who drinks 3 cups, you're 8% less likely than someone who drinks 2 cups to feel depressed on a daily basis. Like if on a survey you put that, you know, you drink this much per day. Yeah, and it's not each cup. It's each cup. I'm sure it's each daily cup. They didn't say that, but I'm sure that is each daily cup.
I wonder, there's no way this is coffee, right? That is caffeine, right?
No, it says coffee. It says
I know,
coffee
but,
here.
I know, but like if you drank a Monster or a Red Bull, like would you get the same results?
I don't think so. I think that introduces so much other stuff that probably makes you depressed. Would be my guess. Who knows?
No, dude, you get wings. That'd be flying around.
For that, three cups of sleep. Yeah, I know you do. But I don't think of a long term that's going to help with depression. I just don't know. I mean, who knows if. We probably would know about that.
I don't know. I have some questions around this one.
But tea, anyway, the same amount of caffeine from tea, and you're not putting sugar and stuff in, I would say very likely that's going to give you the same depression benefit. But who
knows? Is this like while you're drinking it or like at night, you know? I mean.
No, it's just over the long term. They looked at 7 studies published between 1980 and 2015. And I think if you basically said, I drink these cups of coffee per day and you checked, I am depressed, then you went in the depressed category. It's not on a given day. No study is on the given day like that, that I know of.
Okay.
I mean, it could be if that's what they were studying, but I don't think that's what they were studying.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. I'm just like, in addition, like, every time I have a watch, you know, every time I feel depressed, I like hit it and like ask me how many cups of coffee I've had that day and I've entered in, you know?
Right.
No.
I don't think it's.
All right. I get it.
All right. In addition, the 3 large-scale cohort studies said that they associated caffeine consumption. Here you go. Caffeine in general with a lower risk of dying by suicide. So that's interesting. All right. Almost done here. Number 6, lower risk of liver disease. Another study, another journal, liver disease. And number seven, it could protect brain health. Yet another study, yet another journal. Cognitive diseases such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, association between caffeine consumers and lower risk of developing Parkinson's, and regular caffeine consumption, also associated with lower risk of Alzheimer's and dementia. So there you go. A lot of reasons to keep on drinking coffee and drink more of it than ever, as long as you're under 4 cups per day.
There you go. Awesome. So Matt, I don't know if this happened to you, but my chat quit working. I quit getting updates. I just went over to YouTube to see if everyone was bored and checked out or not. And there's tons of comments that I missed. So there's been a lot of action happening.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yep. Have you seen those? Can you see comments, or is Mr. Jeffries the last one?
No, they all stopped for a long time. And then Mike Bever just did one after a 17-minute break in the comments. Says, levity break, wall color palettes appear identical, agreeable gray. Like our two walls look like we're in the same room as each other in the picture. Yeah. And then he also says, Doug, are you still using CGM, which I think is continuous glucose monitor? I don't think you ever were you?
No, I never was, no. MT was for a while, I think.
Yeah, that's Holman, who's been on this podcast feed sometimes. He has been.
I honestly have PGM zero interest in that. No.
Yeah, me too. It's like, it goes back to that blood sugar thing. Like, I just don't need to know if it spikes. I don't think it matters that much.
Right. And it's also just one of those things, like the data, like too much data. It just would freak me out. You know, if I was like trying to eat and live for keeping things down and I don't have an issue. You know, obviously if I had an issue, then.
Yep.
Anyway, there's a lot of, I can't even catch back up here, but because there's just a ton of action. So thank you everyone for weighing in. But lots of love for Peaky Blinders, especially from Dale.
Okay.
Steven says, just listen to the episode of Desert Island Discs. No mention of being vegan. I guess that's the Oppenheimer guy was on there. Okay. All right. Sorry. I mean, this is going to take me a minute.
It's all right.
Britter says, I would rather get caught up in a Costco apocalypse than go to Walmart. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Dale says, no offense, Walmart customers need manners. Man, lots of hate on the Walmart.
Yep. Walmart is, I think, crazy. On doorbusters, too. Black Friday, you don't want to go to Walmart.
No.
All right. Well, we've gone long enough, I think. Thanks for all the comments, everyone. Wish we would have been on top of this. Doug's usually our comment guy who brings us back to the comments, but his feed stopped working. So did mine. So bummer. But
we were boring everybody today. Thanks everybody for being here. Hit that like button. And if you're not, subscribe over on YouTube. That's where all the magic happens.
That is right. We'll be back tomorrow for the last morning show of the week, and then Friday we'll still, as far as I know, do the afternoon morning show, the afternoon version of the morning show. So don't forget that we have that thing. We'll try to remind you about it tomorrow as well. Okay, that's it. Anything else, Doug?
I don't think so.
All right.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you, everyone.
See ya.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.